Pilate was a monster. Pilate was so evil that even the Roman authorities had to call him back to Rome, because in a day when, civility was hardly one of the leading virtues of the Roman Empire, Pilate just overdid it in brutality and sheer nasty. So what's going on? I bring this up because it's illuminating as to, I think, that the meaning of the passion. Why didn't Matthew shake his finger at Pilate? Because he was afraid to, basically. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to call the Roman Empire to account, Especially if this was a kind of renegade group anyway. Which points to what I was trying to say in the other room. What is this Jesus thing all about? It's very hard, but I would suggest that we make an enormous act of imagination and try to figure out what historically was going on. Who was Jesus? He was a bozo. He was a hillbilly from up north. The Galileans had this kind of countrified accent and was recognized as such. What's the big fuss? He was known as a wonder worker, yeah, but there were a number of people in the ancient world who were known as wonder workers. So why bother? Really, why bother? We know that the crucifixion was such a problem for the early church that they scrambled all over the place trying to get reasons for it. Oh, God wanted this, or this was predestined, or this, this is all part of some great divine plan. Okay, I understand that, but it's also an evasion, I think, of the thing about this man that so angered people, so upset people. We get a clue from this famous passage from Paul to the Philippians. This is not, I think, in the best reading, the story of Jesus being kind of up in heaven with the Father and then kind of coming down and doing his business and then flipping back up. No, that was not Paul's understanding of Jesus at all. Paul constantly talked about Jesus as the new Adam. Namely, what the old Adam had done, namely lied, hid himself, was both naked and ashamed. Let's go back to the first Sunday of Lent. This man was naked and unashamed. And being that way, he gave room for everybody else to be that way, too. That's why the donkey is such a wonderful figure. Jesus was a totally non-aggressive presence in the world. That doesn't mean he was harmless. Because to live in that way, I think, is profoundly damaging to society as we know it. We don't operate that way. We don't speak the truth to power. We don't treat everybody as if they are sisters and brothers. And if we did, society, we know it would probably collapse. So it's a self-protective instinct on the part of the Jews who had their notion, some of the Jews. We have to be very careful about that. The Jews didn't kill Jesus, who was a Jew. Some of the poobahs, the bureaucrats, were upset by him because he didn't take him too seriously. Sabbath, again, is made for human beings. The rules have as their point the liberation of people to speak the truth to power and to live freely with each other. And so Paul says that Jesus, just like the first Adam, was made in the image of God, but unlike the first Adam, who was tempted to be like God, eat this fruit and you'll be like God. We talked about this the first Sunday of Lent. Now, Jesus came into a world in which everybody was naked and ashamed and therefore defensive and aggressive and fear-filled and distrusting and wary. Simply was there with his arms open. And because he was this dangerous, menacing presence in the world, dangerous in the sense that he made everybody The rest of us look like the jerks we really are. Fear-filled, aggressive, defensive. He did not, as Paul will say, return evil for evil, because there's plenty of that to go around, but return good for evil. See, we have to be really, really careful, I think, that we have the tradition of the church. It's kind of understandable to say we have mystified this figure, kind of dehistoricized him. And therefore, that great line from William Stringfellow that I quote regularly, remember William Stringfellow, the great Anglican lawyer who worked all his life in Harlem? He said, it's a little Anglican kid, he's always amazed, you know, he'd go to Mass 51 Sundays a year, and sweet Jesus, oh nice Jesus, and then all of a sudden he gets killed. And he says, a little kid, Stringfellow was Paul, I mean, what have we done? We've kind of inoculated ourselves in a variety of ways from the force of this man's life, from his openness, his fearlessness. Not that he wasn't afraid, but he wasn't, like me, paralyzed by my fear. And therefore was this profoundly disruptive presence in the world. And as I said, and it's very clear today, I mean, Dostoevsky, I think, had it right in The Legend of the Grand Inquisitor. If Jesus came back today, he'd probably end up in the same way. And that's why it's so important, I think, to try to peel away all the levels of explanation and rationalization and effective mystification. See, what is the human reality here of this man and his dying, his being murdered? He was a nuisance. He was a spanner in the wheels of society, which if they took him seriously, would certainly grind to a halt and certainly would not continue as we do today. And that's why Paul will go on and say, Jesus, God was so tickled with a human being that finally worked. You know, this one did it. And did it even more than the first Adam, because the first Adam lived in a, assuming it was the first Adam, lived in a state of innocence, of general innocence. Jesus lived in a world where aggression is the law of survival. Defensiveness is essential. To get along, we have to go along. And so he stands in the midst of that world, not being beaten by it, not being conquered by it. That's the triumph of Jesus, not some big, hairy thing with trumpets and gold vestments and all the rest of that, that great panoply, Pope Mobile. Can you imagine Jesus running around in a Pope Mobile? Interesting image. So, as we enter into Passion Week, Holy Week, I hope for myself and for you that we try to reappropriate this man in all his real glory, all his real glory. Massive, unspeakable, unimaginable human integrity, purity, generosity. And that's maybe the most startling thing, because people are poking him all the time, and yet he didn't fold his arms in, you know, like this. So the rest of the world can go hang. I'm going to do my business, I'm going to get through this, finish. He stood there to take it, and take it, and take it, and that's what the cross is.